Roland Kelly has written a few history scripts for us this season, all curiously featuring pairs. The first was about two bishops, the next about two islands, and this week it's about two wives, Jane Daly and Mary Crowley. If you were going to run into trouble with your business, they were the ideal women to be married to, because that's what they did. They gave their husband's endeavours a leg up at a crucial time.
The day 14-year-old Jane Daly saw the young man come into her college in Cork, she can't have known how her life was going to change. And similarly, James Murphy was 14 when he heard that his father had died in Cork, and he can't have known how that would change his life. To Jane Daly first. She was in college in Cork when a young man from India walked in. He was there to improve his English, having just come from India with an Anglo-Irish officer in the British Army there. The young man's name was Dean Mahomet. The year was 1784. It's not recorded what Jane was studying in the college, but it is recorded that she and Dean ran away to get married. He was 27, she was 14. She was from a wealthy family, and she and Dean had a comfortable life in Cork. He published a book on his travels in India. Some sources claim that he never visited some of the places he wrote about, and that he lifted some of the text from other books. Nevertheless, his book is recorded as being the first published in English by an Indian. Jean and Dean had 7, possibly 8 children. Then, when he was in his late 40s and she in her mid-30s, Jane and Dean moved to London, where they lived in a fashionable area and were at the upper echelons of British society. Dean and Jane opened a restaurant in 1810, the Hindustan Coffee House. It was London's first Indian restaurant and even did home deliveries. But the venture failed within a couple of years, and the family slid down the social scale. Dean advertised himself as a valet, or gentleman's butler. He and Jane then ended up in 1814 in Brighton, managing a bathhouse. But they were great self-publicists. They offered free massage and aromatherapy to people who hadn't been cured elsewhere. Dean wrote another book about the cures he'd administered, and they adorned the walls with crutches and other paraphernalia belonging to those he claimed to cure. Eventually, he and Jane opened their own Mohammed's Indian Bathhouse, and crucial to its success was that it included a women's bathhouse run by Jane. They called their massage shampooing, after the Hindi word for massage, shampi. Their customers were royalty and aristocracy, and Dean was appointed shampooing surgeon to the king. He was at this time in his 60s, Jane was in her 50s. The baths flourished for 20 years, and the Mahomets were prominent figures in Brighton life, but eventually the business declined and the bathhouse was sold. They still operated Indian baths from their new, more modest home, but it was Jane who kept the business going. The idea of Mahomet's Indian baths was taken over by rivals and became Turkish baths, and shampooing came to just mean hair washing. Jane and Dean died within a year of each other in 1850 and 1851. He was 91, she was 78. 30 years later, another Cork person in our story, James Murphy, was born near Bandon. When he was a teenager, his father had died after a fall from a horse. James blamed himself for the fall, believing he should have checked the saddle girth strap. He was the cleverest child in the family and was sent to train to be a priest in Maynooth. He went on to teach and minister in the US, but was dismissed from one post for negligence and admonished by the bishop in another for unsatisfactory conduct. In 1909, he left the US for Europe, where he studied in Italy and Germany, and effectively dropped out of the priesthood. The next 20 years or so are a string of jobs involving James Murphy with the powerful and intellectual elite of Europe. He was a war reporter during the First World War and gave a lecture in Buckingham Palace. He interviewed Mussolini, Einstein, Max Planck and Sean O'Casey, among others. In the late 1920s, he met a Londoner, Mary Crowley, who helped him prepare lectures for a tour of the US he was going on. When he returned from that tour, James and Mary married. In the 1920s, he had worked as a propagandist for the Italians, but called Mussolini a buffoon. During the 1930s, he and Mary lived in Germany, where he worked for the Nazis. He held with some, but not all, of their ideas. He didn't believe in biological racism, but thought Jewish culture was flawed. He agreed with the Nazis that Jews had been economically dominant in the past, but he thought that anti-Semitism was temporary. One of Murphy's assistants described him as intellectually arrogant and naively deluded. The Nazis, however, thought him a true believer and asked him to translate Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, into English. Murphy had hated an earlier abridged translation and completed his more readable version in 1937. As a complete version of Mein Kampf, Murphy's gave a better insight into the more extreme aspects of Hitler's personality. But, having finished his translation, James Murphy fell out of favour with the Nazis. He was drinking heavily and loudly questioning Hitler's sanity. He and Jane had to flee Germany. They had a publisher in London ready to publish the English version of Mein Kampf, but James and Mary had to leave Germany without his copy of the transcript, Hitler having ordered that all copies be sequestered. So there they were in London in 1938 with a publishing deal and no transcript. They knew that James wasn't welcome back in Germany, so Mary decided to go. She said, "They won't notice me." When she got to Berlin, she went to meet a man she knew at the Ministry of Propaganda and asked him for a carbon copy of the transcript. It happened to be the day after Kristallnacht, the night of the burning of Jewish shops and synagogues. Her contact refused, saying he'd be put up against a wall and shot if he gave her the transcript. Mary then remembered that she'd given a handwritten draft of James's translation to a typist. She went and met this woman, the woman still had the draft, and gave it to Mary. Mary returned home, and the English version of Mein Kampf was published. It sold 200,000 copies before the printing plates were destroyed in a German bombing raid in 1942. However, because of a dispute with the publishers, James and Mary only received £400. James died in 1946, aged 66. Mary described him as a man of huge intellect and presence, full of dreams and optimism. Anyone who married him would be very selfish because he belonged to everyone. Mary herself died in 2003, aged 98. She'd been a widow for 57 years. James Murphy, husband of Mary Crowley, and Dean Mohammed, husband of Jane Daly. Two men seemingly very fortunate in their choice of wives.
Ronan Kelly there with those twin stories that demonstrate the invaluable role of a good partner in trying times. That's all we've time for on this evening's programme, and indeed all we've time for on this series of The History Show. We'll be back in the autumn with another run of episodes. Details of all our items as well as podcasts are on our website, rte.ie/historyshow. My thanks tonight to Cara O'Hare on sound and our researcher Ian Kennelly. The History Show is a Pegasus production for RTE. For now, from me, Miles Dungan, and producer Lorcan Clancy, goodbye and thanks for listening.